Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Washington. It's always difficult to be the last speaker, but I hope to entertain you with a very real-life story of a good example of multi-sector collaboration. I'd like to thank our co-authors here, Teresa Heaton, Christopher Hoff, and Paul Kienert. I have no relationships to disclose. Our objectives today is to analyze King County Health Department's implementation of the Incident Command System as a management tool, and compare and contrast your experience with Incident Command, and apply those Incident Command lessons learned to quality improvement planning in your own agencies, and then implementing those tools within your own agency. Kane County Health Department is a Collar County Health Department in the Chicagoland area. We're approximately 30 miles west of Chicago, population roughly 520,000 documented, the second and fifth largest cities in Illinois, nine different school districts, roughly 225,000 school children. This is our organizational chart, and I show it to you because there is a unique component here for a local health department in that our executive director has both the Office of Emergency Management and Animal Control reporting to him, in addition to the traditional local health department divisions. At the time, we've just gone through a reorganization. At the time, I was the director of the Division of Health Protection, and Health Protection, that unit contained public health emergency response, environmental health, and communicable disease surveillance. So many of you, all of you, I'm sure you remember that day back when the public health emergency was declared for swine flu. We were all eagerly watching the news, watching cases in Mexico. Really, for many years, I've worked in public health now for over 10 years, and since September 11th, we've trained and trained and trained in incident command. We've trained in preparedness. We've trained for this type of incident, and yet you're sitting there watching CNN going, oh my God, I can't hardly believe this is happening. And I have to be honest, this entire structure, it was a Sunday morning. I remember it like it was yesterday, and there were phone calls going back and forth like, what are we going to do? And right away, you can see from this organizational chart, the incident command structure, that on Thursday, April 30th, we were still calling this swine flu response. And despite all the training that we'd had in incident command, we went into our traditional organizational structure. We just took the incident command structure and moved the organizational structure within it. And we didn't even include the Office of Emergency Management, despite the fact that they report to our executive director. So between March and September, we had basically this entire summer to plan and prepare for the mass vaccination campaign. And this is where we really kicked it into gear, and this is where Incident Command really helped as a management tool. The senior leadership had somewhat delayed taking Incident Command upper-level courses of 300 and 400, so we jumped right into that, took those courses, and met every single Tuesday via conference call with all of the hospitals and the large clinics in our area. So we have five significantly large hospitals, as well as five federally qualified healthcare centers serving thousands of clients. We met every Tuesday morning. The conference call lasted approximately an hour and a half. You remember the CDC guidance was changing, you know, really almost on a moment-by-moment basis. The questions that were coming up are what kind of personal protective equipment do we use, N95 particular respirators in use, are they not in use? And by having these calls every Tuesday with all of the significant medical players in the community, we were able to keep everybody going down the same path with the same information. So as a tool, it was very useful to us. You can see by 9:29, now we were back in gear. We were calling it H1N1 Incident Command. We'd taken these courses, and we were able to expand the Incident Command structure to include operations section, planning section, logistics, and finance, as well as we remembered that the OEM did report to us, and we were able to put them in as the deputy incident commanders. This is an example of how we expanded beyond this normal incident command structure into area command. Area command is rarely used. It's definitely not used in the public health sector. We had spent the summer planning for mass vaccination clinics. We knew that we were going to be conducting large, large clinics for thousands and thousands of people. We had planned to do them in school gymnasiums, high school gymnasiums, So we went into an area command structure where we incorporated into the unified command system. On the left, you can see we incorporated school districts, we incorporated police, we fire departments, all of the hospitals in our efforts to plan for vaccinating up to 500,000 people. So what were the advantages of area command? Well, absolutely, it's helps you in interagency coordination. Everybody comes to the table with a whole set of different skills. Your overall goals have to be the same, and the incident command structure helps to set those goals and everybody understand them the same way. It definitely helps with resource use. These mass clinics required literally semi-trucks of material to be delivered to each one of them. We also had buses because we utilized not only, we only have 29 nurses in our agency, but we had to go out and contract with the four schools of nursing in our area, as well as other agency nurses in order to be able to conduct the mass vaccination clinics. So we were having to bus people in from remote sites into the high schools because the area around the high schools, the parking was cordoned off just for the public. So it really made it easy for us to take the resources that we had and literally move people within the mass vaccination time frame when the clinics were going on. If you had a high school that was running a little bit faster than another high school, we were able to ship nurses and as well as materials. Area command also makes sure that the agency policies, the priorities, the constraints, and the guidance are known to the unified commanders. They're implemented consistently. As I said, everybody comes with a different set of priorities. Police are there. They're there to protect safety. Public health is there. They're there to vaccinate. Everybody has a different priority. And ultimately, it does reduce the workload for each of the agency officials. The responsibilities of area command are really to set those incident-related objectives so that everybody understands what the mission is, make sure that those objectives are met, and that they don't conflict with agency policies. So if you have police that have certain policies around safety, this opportunity allows you to sit down and make sure that you're not interfering with their agency policies. We were able to allocate and reallocate those critical resources. We were able to make sure that the clinic sites were properly managed. One of the biggest things was really coordinating the information with not only our administration, the administration of police, fire, and schools, and the media, because this was the first time that the school districts, the school gymnasiums had actually ever been used for some type of event like this. And the school districts are the second and third largest school districts outside of the city in Chicago, and were very, very different in their own priorities. We had, you know, a suburban school with a very large suburban middle-class population, and then two really urban schools on either end of the county that were mostly Latino populations. And the media information and the information to the clients at each one of those sites was very different. So it did allow a unified message. And it really helped with the demobilization, because when you're really loading semi-trucks and people in buses, the demobilization takes a long time. We use the Planning P. For those of you who are working in H1N1 during this time, you're familiar with it. If you're not, you can easily go to the FEMA website and you can look up the Planning P. It's a large P that allows the framework for strategic planning. It also, we took it one step further, and what we did was incorporate rapid cycle quality improvement into the Planning P. So every Tuesday did we not only meet with the hospitals, we also met as a strategic team to plan what we were going to do for the next week related to the vaccination campaign. And during that week, we were able to make any kind of quality improvement changes that we needed to make based on feedback, based on mistakes, based on all kinds of feedback. And we also had really clear meeting outcomes, because many of you remember we were all working 16 hours a day, and you know, the meeting outcomes could clearly get away from you. This is the operational Planning P, what it looks like. In the green area right here, you can see where the new operation period begins, and that is where Tuesday morning started for everybody. So that was the hospitals, the medical community, the strategic leadership, everybody started right there. On the right, you can see the Rapid Cycle Quality Improvement Plan, Do, Check, Act. Many of you are familiar with that cycle. That's the cycle quality improvement we used in coordination with the operational planning P. So every Tuesday, we really were doing rapid cycle quality improvement on a rapid cycle. So, you know, they tell you that that time frame on a week, that's really rapid. We did use all of the incident action plans, the forms. Initially, when you go through this training, it's a little dry and tedious, and you're like, I'm never going to pull out those forms. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh my God, where's that form? I need that form. And because it really, really keeps you focused and keeps you on task, and you're all speaking the same language. So by October 26th, when we were really delivering the actual mass vaccination campaign, we had the three high schools set up all over the county. We had unified command up here on the left-hand side, so we had health department, OEM, police, fire, and school all represented in one agency. This is just one of the high schools that we did. What are the lessons that we learned through unified command? Operations versus command is a very, very difficult task. If you're working in a normal operations role within your own agency, and then you are put in a command role in a event like this, there definitely are moments where you slip back into your operations mode. Our epidemiologist was in unified command at one of the high schools, and when she got to the high school, she was in unified command with police and fire. The police chief pulled her aside and said, okay, we're in unified command. We need to sit here above the stadium. We need to watch everybody. We need to have them come to us and tell us what their problems are. And her first response was, I'm a doer, not a sitter. And off she went into the mix of the gymnasium, which was exactly what a perfect lesson learned, because she was operations focused to go into the command structure. It's a really difficult change to make. And vice versa is true. If you're in a command role and then you're put into an operations role in one of these events, it's a switch in your thinking process. Definitely lessons learned about unified command and turf. When you're on somebody else's turf, you need to learn to play by their rules, especially in the school districts. We wanted to start the clinics early in the day when the kids were still in school. The schools were not interested in that. They said that would interfere with their learning. And so we started these clinics at 4:30 in the afternoon. So there was some chaos really between the ending of school, the setting up of the clinic, and the beginning of the clinic, because the public was starting to line up as well. So those were definite lessons learned, as well as the value of the instant command structure training. So what are the strengths? You really understand what your role is. You understand that you only report to the person above you, and that if somebody comes to you and says you're in operations and they say we need 42 sandbags, you're able to turn around and say that's logistics. So those lessons that were learned and operationalized were critical to us. It really helps communication with the external agencies. The hospitals are very good at incident command, and so we're all speaking the same lingo now, even after H1N1, and that these ICS forms and these tools really force you to put a plan on paper and revisit it. Our challenges were really, I'm sure, you know, more challenges than possible that I could acknowledge here, but really getting it your normal role and then putting you in an emergency role. You really want to draw back and fall to what's comfortable to your normal role, and, you know, really running that pandemic response along with your running the business, your day-to-day operations, because our grant deliverables in other areas certainly didn't stop, and we needed to be able to run that business as well as try to run the H1N1 operations at the same time. We did have a challenge with our depth, the staff of our depth. We had 122 FTEs at the time of this event, and so we did try to rotate people through different ICS roles, so to give them a real opportunity. So even though I was in senior leadership and frequently was in incident command, by the time that we'd done multiple clinics, we'd been able to rotate down, like our clinical supervisors, up to incident command, so they had the opportunity for senior leadership roles in a real emergency. And just the knowledge about learning incident command, it's definitely an investment in time. What were the opportunities in learning this and operationalizing it? We are using this all the time now, almost on a daily basis. We have the largest TB outbreak among the homeless population in the last 10 years, and this has been going on for some time, where we're running mass clinics for evaluation of TB, and we're doing them every 12 weeks, and we're using the incident command in that structure all the time. So we also had a very large hepatitis A outbreak where we vaccinated 3,600 people over 3 days, and we were able to use this incident command structure as well. It really helps to pre-plan events. You're not walking into something surprised. And now we've incorporated, we're reorganizing, we've gone through a downsizing, and we actually incorporated this language into job descriptions. So, questions after that? Thank you.